This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to Joy 94.9. This is Generation Next. And look, it's about that time of the evening for a little thing that we call gay school.
There's a bear in there, and a chair as well.
There are people with games and stories to tell.
Open wide, come inside.
It's gay school.
Oh. Love that.
Inspirational Stefan.
How many singing lessons have you had, baby? You're like a genius.
Oh, he has an amazing voice.
I learned from K-Box.
This is gay school.
Anyway.
It's the home for news and views critical to LGBTI youth. What's going on in the news, Eleanor?
So Courier Mail's apology for the controversial front page falls short. So,
Really?
Really? So, yeah, we posted a bit about this on our Facebook page, actually. Essentially, the Courier Mail has posted a picture of a recently deceased transgender woman. Her name was Mayang Presetio. And essentially, it's a picture of her in a bikini next to a headline that contained transphobic slurs, which, you know, that's always a great start on the front page of a recently deceased woman.
I saw that and I was just like, okay, this is a really, really... a very poor joke from Nine Gag.
I was like, there's no way that's real, but it is. It was
highly sensationalized.
Absolutely, that's the worst part. The paper was accused of sickening and gutter journalism, transphobic sensationalism, and delegitimizing sex work, along with doing harm to the mental well-being of vulnerable LGBTI community members.
Yeah, there was a sub-editor in that process that really needed to get smacked into line.
I know, it's... and
not smacked into line.
Well, I mean, you know, without the violence. They published a statement at the end of the story saying that the publication never meant to dishonour her memory, but it wasn't an apology, and trans activists have said that the statement failed to acknowledge any mistake and harm caused by the paper. A spokesperson for the trans group responsible for the change.org petition has said... The apology published by the Courier Mail this morning did not acknowledge the code of conduct, nor admit fault in their reporting, and merely explaining that people felt they had reported wrongly, well, obviously. This apology does not come close to fixing the harm that this reporting has done to Mayang's friends and family, or the long-term effects against the trans and sex worker communities. This is not good enough. It's just really, I mean, it's really disappointing on so many levels. I can't believe that they printed it late. Did no one ever stop and go, this is terrible?
Well, do you know what? Though the community outreach was insane. And I want to, like, and we've got a lot of straight allies out there. That was something that I definitely found. The wonderful cinematographer, comedian, and all-around babe train dreamboat, Matt Hoffman, who is also a really funny alt model. And he immediately... jumped onto Facebook and blasted. I think I saw him on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram blasting what happened. And that was to come from somebody like Matt Hoffman. That was that actually made me feel really good.
The only a Courier Mail journalist, John McCarthy, has spoken publicly saying that he was, quote, proud of backing a great story, and criticism followed. Obviously, and he seems to have made a thinly veiled homophobic remark, noting that in response to old mate here says you're not a journalist, butthole, and that's a bit of a rude word, but he replied with, you probably spend a lot of time looking at them, so I guess you'd know. Excuse me?
Yeah.
That's disgraceful.
People do not know how to apologise.
I know,
and just being able to like take onus of when you have
made a mistake, exactly.
Pull your head into line and apologise.
So, has anyone heard of the new pink washing strategy going on?
Oh no, what's that?
By the Greens. Basically, the Greens have gotten onto Grindr to gorge the gay vote. A Greens candidate seeking election in the quite queer Melbourne electorate of Prahan is alerting gay voters to his campaign via hookup app Grindr, the first Australian political candidate to do so. Personally, they should have tried Hornet. Hornet is much more better.
Okay, well, look, I think that that is hilarious. Look, and good on them, because it's Paran is like the gay republic of Melbourne.
True.
It is, yeah. So I think that's very, very smart. And look,
it's really clever.
Let's be real. He's probably not the first politician to use a social hookup app like this. He's just put his name on it. In fact, there are probably lots of politicians out there that are on Grindr, but they're like the torso photos.
I'm just kind of curious what goes on in their political strategization about it. It's kind of, they kind of assume that gays only vote on gay issues. I would have assumed gay voters in the area, since they're relevantly affluent, would go beyond just simple issues of same-sex marriage.
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean,
but it's such a good way to connect with them. And it might not be just about that. That's just one part of their, I guess, their political strategy would be the same-sex attraction. But, I mean, you can't go into a bar, you can't go into a public setting without seeing that orange app. You can't. Not in a queer setting. Kid you not.
I was just on the train to the city one day, and a guy in front of me was checking out Grindr, and I had to stifle a laugh. I'm going, oh no. Oh. I mean, I don't make a habit of looking over people's shoulders, but it was impossible to miss.
I am so, okay, so when these apps first started picking up, and I was like, okay, I'm a little bit against it, and now I'm actually all for it. And I've noticed that, like, I will be on a tram, and I'll be like, oh, I know what that alert is, and then jump on there, and I'm like, this is a public space, Dylan.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I should get Grindr tonight and convince a guy to vote Greens. Just to support him.
Look.
The way your brain operates, Stefan, I swear, it makes me laugh.
I mean, it's one of a kind. Stefan is truly a national treasure.
special.
Study reveals lower rates of pap smear tests among lesbians. And new studies presented at the Australian Sexual Health Conference in Sydney last week revealed a consistent portion of lesbians and bisexual women never receiving a routine pap smear. The study explored testing rates, changes in testing between 2002 and 2012, and the predictor of test attendance among lesbian, bisexual and queer women in New South Wales. It found that women who've never had sex with a man are almost three times likely to never have had a pap smear.
That's really not great, because, I mean, it doesn't matter what your sexual orientation is. You know, issues of health are issues of health, and it's really important to get those screenings done.
Oh, 100%. But I think it's, like, also very, like, and not just pap smears. I noticed that younger generations, like, especially our generation, aren't very likely to go and get a sex health test as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, ask yourself, when was the last time that I had a pap smear? And if you have to think about it, maybe go get one.
I mean, that's definitely solid advice to all the cis women out there. And, you know, maybe even some trans men. I'm not educating that health issue, but that's definitely something that, you know, you should be really conscious of, because it's a really important issue.
Get tested.
100%.
Yeah. And it takes, like, maybe half an hour of your time. It's really not, you know, it's not the end of the world to go and get, you know, simple screenings done.
It will save your life.
It could save your life. I'm not going to say it will save your life, but it definitely could.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's really important to do. And plus, you know, it's our health. Like, yeah, you just got to kind of go, I am an adult and I'm
responsible.
I'm responsible.
Just before we head out tonight, Kate McGregor's going to appear on Q&A tonight. She's the highest ranking trans woman military official in the world. She entered the military in 1974. So that's a 40-year career, and she was actually awarded the Order of Australia in 2012 for her service. She began transitioning a couple of years ago, and she was a key speaker and trans advocate at several events this year's Mardi Gras. She's also a key speaker at this year's Pride and Diversity Award. Essentially, look, she's joining the Australian's foreign editor, a human rights lawyer, and shadow education minister, as well as a federal MP, and they're going to focus on terrorism and civil liberties, and it's anticipated that, you know, she might comment on the Courier Mail topic, because, you know, that's definitely something that we can't let them get away with. We need to keep, you know, we need to make clear that that kind of reporting is just not acceptable.
Hound them.
Exactly. You know, we can't give up on that. So, you know, it's really great to hear that such a successful trans woman is going to appear on Q&A, because they've had out gay and lesbians before, but you know, this is pretty much the first time they've had such, you know, an influential and out and proud transgender person on their show, and that's really great to hear.
I agree 100% on that one, Eleanor. But we've run out of time.
I know,
for tonight's
such
episode.
So disappointing.
It is sad. It's sad. But you know, we love hanging out with you. And I'm sure next week on Gen Next is going to be dope.
Oh, I'm excited.
Wait, I can come on dope.
What? No. Okay.
Well, we're not going into that.
On. Man, my brain. Yes, indeed. I have lost my train of thought. You can catch me tomorrow night.
Shameless plug.
Shameless plug all the way. Catch me on Sci-Fi and Scream. Dillstick is making a return. I've been playing Alien Isolation, and I've got all the updates for you.
Thanks so much for joining us tonight, Dylan. Yeah, it's great to have you always.
It's always a pleasure still being considered a young person.
You can pass for 22 in the right light. I liked that.
I did. Someone at work was like, I bet you're like 22. When do you turn 22? And I was just like, and you have become king of this evening. But hey, we're out of time. This has been Generation Next. We love you very, very much. And we'll talk to you soon.
See yous.
Joy 94.9.
Generation Next. Love it.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.